Father, I thank you for Mark. I thank you for the word he's got for us today. God, I thank you that you, Lord, we want to hear from you. I want you to change life. Stir our faith up today, Lord. Stir it up. Don't let us be the same. We love you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It's always good to be in Picayune. And Alan and I played golf the last couple days, and we just kind of hobbled around the golf course. I don't know what I did. I hurt my foot. So if any of you feel a healing anointing today, I'll take it. I need some healing. I want to talk to you today about becoming people of faith. You know, it seems like I'm going to preach on faith and my foot gets, I remember several months ago we were going down to Peru, and I went down there to preach, and I was on a scooter. I saw somebody come in with a scooter, and I was scooting through the airport, and the Lord touched me while I was in Peru and healed me. So maybe the Lord will touch me while I'm Picayune and heal me. I'm for it. You know, we all are people of faith, and the world looks at us sometimes and they think we're crazy. And maybe in some ways we are, because we're followers of God, and the Bible says we're going to be peculiar people. But they look at us like we never have a problem. We never have a bad day. And so I was reading on the internet the other day about how to know that you're having a bad day. So if you've never had a bad day, I'm going to give you the top 10 ways that you can know if you're having a bad day. And I think this is going to encourage you. So how to know you're having a bad day, number 10. People send your wife sympathy cards on your anniversary. Number 9, your pacemaker has only a 30-day guarantee. Number 8, the pest exterminator crawls under your house and never comes out. Number 7, it takes you 3 hours to make minute rice. I can identify with that. I'm horrible in the kitchen. I watch my wife in amazement in the kitchen. By the way, I just got a promotion the other day. I am no longer the dishwasher at our house. I am the sous chef in Jesus' name. I got a promotion. You know, Alan said, "You're what?" You know you're having a bad day when, number 6, the bride's family throws rocks instead of rice. Number 5, your horn sticks on the freeway right behind 32 Hells Angels motorcycle riders. That's funny. I don't care who you are. Number 4, your twin sister forgets your birthday. Number 3, your income tax refund check bounces. That's not funny. That really is a bad day. Number 2, your doctor tells you that you're allergic to chocolate. Now you know you're having a bad day, especially when this is a season for bluebell. And then reason number 1, you know you're having a bad day when the bird singing outside your window is a vulture. We've all had bad days. I mean, we're people, right? But the deal is, when you walk with Jesus, you've got a reservoir of hope, and you've got a possibility of anything. And that's why we're called people of faith. And because we're people of faith, some of the people just think we're crazy. They don't get it that we believe God, but they don't know the God we know. And we can believe and we can be people of faith because we are walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's a relationship. So when I talk about becoming people of faith today, I want to take you to Mark chapter 5, and I want to start reading in verse 25. This was a woman, we call her the woman with an issue of blood. This woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. I mean, that's not just a bad day. That's bad day after bad day after bad day. If anybody ought to want to quit, it was this woman. I want to pick the story up in verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow or hemorrhaging of blood for 12 years. It says, and she'd suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus," I want you to think about that phrase, "when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment." Now, I'm thinking to myself, there may have been a few days between hearing that Jesus was coming to town. There may have been a few even months of hearing what Jesus did for others. Somehow, some way, enough faith came up inside of her. Enough hope came up inside of her. She was willing to act on her faith. And it says again there, Let me back up to that phrase. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I was even thinking about that. He wasn't coming toward her, but she didn't care. She was coming toward him. Verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And I love what it says in verse 29. We could use some more of these in our lives. Immediately. Immediately. How many of you like when God does something immediately? We could use some more immediately's in our life. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now this was kind of an interesting thing for him to say, and you'll see why in the next verse, because the disciples said to him in verse 31, "You see the multitude thronging you." That means they're pressing against you. They're rubbing against you. Tons of people are touching you is what they're saying. But what he was saying was, somebody just touched me with a different motive inside. You can be around Jesus every day and receive nothing. You can come to church every weekend and receive nothing. But let me tell you something. Desperation is the seedbed for faith. And when you're walking through a desperate time in your life, your prayers change. Your attitude changes. Your purpose in church. I mean, you worship different. You pray different. And she had pressed in with a different motive and a different motivation, and he felt it. Disciples said, "Many are thronging you." And you say, "Who touched me?" Verse 32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." She left different than when she came. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you today that we would be able to leave this place different in which we came. God, I ask you today to meet with us. Lord, we're coming after you with our whole heart. We're reaching out to touch you with our worship, even right now with our hearts as we listen to this word. But God, we pray in Jesus' name, we would not leave here the same. That you would make us people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Faith is treated like it's a mystical thing. But when the Bible says faith is a substance, substance is something you can get your hands on. Evidence is something that 'll stand up in court. And even though you may not be able to see it yet, the fact that our faith is in our Father, and our Father is a good Father, all-powerful, all-knowing, and true to His Word, our faith is something we can hold on to. It's not just a mystical myth in the air. But when I went to the dictionary to try to find a good definition of faith, it dawned on me real quick that you can get some bad theology on the internet. Did you know that? You know, not everything on the internet's true. Did you know that? I know you know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded. I was reading this definition, and this is what it said. It started off by saying, faith is a strong belief in God. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that one. And then it begins to drift, and it says, or in the doctrines of religion. I'm like, okay, you're losing me a little bit there. And then it went on to say, based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Spiritual apprehension. What in the world is spiritual apprehension? I'm just kind of believe and hope and I can grab hold of something that works. That's not faith. Matter of fact, the Webster's Dictionary had it best. This is what Webster's Dictionary said. Faith is absolute trust in one's promises and character. I like that. Absolute trust in one's promises and character. And then it went on to say, a belief and a trust in and loyalty to God. You know, I don't just have faith in God's Word. I have faith in the God of the Word. He didn't just make promises years ago that worked fine for them, but He's alive today, and His promises today, the Bible says, are yes and amen, which means they are for us now. That's important if we're going to be people of faith. Because faith is not just positive confession in the wind of possibility. Walt Disney didn't come up with faith. I mean, it wasn't like, think happy thoughts and you will fly. That's not faith. That's Peter Pan, but that's not faith. Faith is more foundational than that. But I've also noticed that faith is always under attack. Ever since we were little kids, we were being attacked in the area of our faith. As a matter of fact, the enemy would like to lay foundations inside of us, even in church, so that one day when we need a miracle, that foundational truth is not in us. We were told as a kid, miracles passed away, so you can't have faith in that. And the enemy tries to damage our faith as when we're little kids. It's amazing. When I started trying to get free as an adult and began to get free from past bondage and even things that I grew up with in church, I would hear those voices of those Sunday school teachers when I was a kid. And I would doubt. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was scared to death to speak in tongues because I heard somebody say that was demonic. It passed away. I was afraid of worship because it was just a little bit too demonstrative and people were, they're clapping their hands, they're getting a little bit too emotional in church. Where'd that come from? It was the enemy trying to damage my faith when I was a child. Our faith has got to line up with the Word of God. It's not mystical. Faith is only as good as the person you put your trust in, and God is trustworthy. Can I get an amen? So what does faith look like? I was reading a story about a guy that was full of faith, and he was a tightrope walker. He was over in Europe, and the story says that there was a familiar old story told about a tightrope walker who did incredible stunts all over Paris. He would do these tightrope acts, these tremendously scary heights, and then he'd go back and do it again blindfolded. And then he'd go back and do it again blindfolded, and he'd push a wheelbarrow over that tightrope. So this American promoter reached out to him and said, "Hey, I'm going to offer you a very large sum of money if you'll come over to America and let me promote you, and I'm going to have you walk over Niagara Falls on a tightrope." So he challenged the guy. The guy took him up on it, and this promoter promoted it and the whole thing, and a huge crowd. Everybody paid to see this tightrope walker walk from Canada side over to the American side on a tightrope right over Niagara Falls. Well, the wind was up that day, and the mist from the falls would covered the rope. And this guy stepped out on the rope, and it was as slick as it could be. But one step after another, he slid his feet all the way across that tightrope and made it to the other side, and the crowd went crazy. So he stepped off that platform and came down to the promoter and said, "Well, you believe I can do it?" The guy said, "Well, I just saw you do it." "Yeah, I believe. He said, "No, do you believe I can do it blindfold?" He said, I just saw you do it. I believe you can do it." He said, "If you believe it, then it's next time I'm taking the wheelbarrow across, get in it." Now that's faith. That's not faith. That's the most horrible story about faith that I've ever heard. That's stupidity. I'm not getting in the wheelbarrow. You're not getting in. That's stupid. But that's what the world wants us to think about when we think about faith. Faith is that unpredictable. No, it's not. That's not faith. That's foolishness. Faith is so secure because the person we're putting our faith in is secure. He's God. He's our Father. He loves us. His promises are true. And His heart behind His promises is for us. That's faith. Faith is secure. The woman with the issue of blood can teach us a few things about faith. And I believe the first thing that she's been teaching me is this. It matters what we believe. She'd been this way for 12 years. She could either believe that she'd never get well, or she could believe what she began to hear about Jesus. Jesus was in town. He was touching other people. If He could touch other people, maybe He could touch me. And it's important to it matters what we believe. Here's one of the things that I've been thinking through as I've been reading this passage. Just like I said a moment ago, our faith gets under attack. If our faith is measured inside of us, now track with me for a minute. If our faith is measured inside of us by the level of the Word we know, then let me ask you, how strong is your faith? Let me go a little step further. If the faith that we walk in to face life, and that's really what the Bible's full of, is stories of faith where God would move and people would respond. Or in some cases, people would respond and God would move. Story after faith after faith after faith. But what if the level of our faith is in our life is based on how much Scripture we have memorized? How much faith do we have? I submit to you that some of our capacity to believe God has been tainted from mixture. I got a little bit of trust and I got a little bit of fear. And I've got a little bit of love and I got a little bit of lust. Does that make sense? It's been tainted by what we watch. It's been tainted by what we listen to. It's been tainted by people we hang around. It matters what we believe. And if God's going to build inside of us faith upon faith upon faith, we're going to have to pull back on mixture. It matters what you watch on TV. We need to have some absolutes in our life, because some of the things we watch and some of the things we listen to are absolutely wrong. It's time somebody again preached the old holiness message. I've been listening to a preacher by the name of Jensen Franklin. Well, you're not listening to Pastor Allen. You ought to listen to Jensen Franklin just a little bit on the internet or on the TV. But let me tell you something. It's okay today to have some absolutes in our life and say, I'm not letting anything in my brain that's going to pull me away from my faith. God's challenging me. I want to be full of faith, full of faith, full of faith. I can't be full of faith if I'm full of something else. It matters what we believe. We got to believe the Word of God. And in order to, listen, we got to saturate ourselves with the Word. I'm not talking about not having fun. Listen, for heaven's sake, one of my best friends is Alan Hickman. He knows how to have fun. You think he didn't know how to have fun? Hang out with Jamie. Jamie and Billy know how to have fun. I love having fun, but I'm not going to compromise any longer my walk with God, because when I need faith, it will not be there if I've not been saturated in the Word of God. Not only believe in the Word, but we must also believe the Word of God, but we must also believe the God of the Word. There's two things going on here. I want to know the Scripture, but I want to know the Father. I'm talking about saturating my heart in the presence of the Lord, because faith must be fed. You can't feed your brain trash and expect it to be strong. You can't feed your faith trash and expect it to be strong. Let me show you Matthew 9:27. When Jesus departed from there, it says in verse 27, Matthew 9:27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he'd come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Verse 29 says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be done to you.' And their eyes were opened." There's an interchange going on here. Why didn't Jesus just come out and say, "Listen, I got enough faith for both of us. Let me just heal your eyes." He wanted some participation. And that's relationship. And God's asking us. This last year, Sandy and I went to it was kind of a reception around the death of a friend. They had lost their son to cancer, and they had invited everyone over. It was a funeral, but it was really more of just a time to mourn and a time to see them and comfort them. And a man walked up to me that night and asked me this question. He kind of stumped me. He just said this to me. He said, "What do you believe in God for today? What do you believe in God for?" And I got to thinking, what did I pray about this morning? And what's the burden on my heart? And what are the things I'm really... at? What he was saying is, what are you activating your faith toward? And it really stuck with me, because I got to thinking, you know, sometimes I only activate my faith when we're walking through crisis. But there are some areas in our life we need to activate our faith all the time. I've had people say, "Are you going to be a faith preacher?" I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going to be a doubt preacher. I feel sometimes that faith has gotten a bad rap. But it matters what we believe, because we're going to speak out of what we believe. Which brings me to the second point. Number one, it matters what we believe. Number two, it matters what we say. It matters what we say. This woman says, it says here about her, "For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" She was thinking about it, but then she said it. She said it to herself. Sometimes we just need to stop in our tracks, and we need to say what God's saying about our life. We need to activate our faith by getting it out. The Bible says the power of life and death are in the tongue. We need to speak life over ourselves. We need to speak life over our children. We need to speak life over our job. Don't get up in the morning and go, "God, I hate that I've got to go to work." No, get up that morning and say, "You know what? Things are changing today in Jesus' name. I'm going to walk into this place full of faith, and I'm going to walk in this place full of positivity." There's nothing wrong with a Christian being positive. Amen? And I'm going to bless somebody today. I'm going to buy somebody's lunch today. That's talking about them. You hear what I'm saying? Negative people wear me out. I grew up in a family, they'd argue about anything. My brother and my dad, they can be as wrong as they can be, and both of them think they're right, and they'll argue for an hour. Why? You know, I think the Lord understood that I grew up in that household, and He let me marry my wife. There's a test you can take called Strength Finders. In her top five strengths, one of them is positivity. And man, if I start getting negative, you just see the color drain out of her face because she's positive. And she'll say, think about what you're saying. You're getting negative. I'll get wounded or I'll get hurt. Or I'll get frustrated. And instead of going straight to, you know what, we're going to be okay, I'll go to the negative side. I'll go to the dark side. Listen, it matters what we say. We can drain the life out of a situation, or we can speak life into a situation. I'm for speaking life. I'm for saying I'm blessed. I'm favored. Good things are going to come my way today. Today I'm going to walk in victory. All these things are going to work out for my good. If we start speaking that way, according to what this woman did, our actions will follow what we're saying.
That's right.
But if we're negative all the time, we'll never be full of faith. People of faith speak life. So where does true faith come from? I love Romans 10:17. It says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I want my faith to increase, then I've got to increase two things. The presence of the Word of God in my life, and then the presence of the God of the Word in my life. Because if I'll get into His Word daily and deeply, I'll see change in my life. People of faith are also people of prayer. Have you ever been around people of prayer? I love it when the first thing they think of is, let's pray. You know, if you've ever worked the altar and you've prayed for people and people come up and they start telling you what's going on in their life. I mean, they ran over their dog that week and they lost their job that week and their kid got kicked out of school that week and their husband, you know, spent every last penny they had that week and they just start telling you what's going on. You think, oh my goodness, what am I going to tell them? You don't have to tell them anything. You just pray. No matter what we go through, if we'll turn it over to the Lord, we can see God do something on our behalf. It may happen immediately. It may happen in the next 5 weeks. It may happen in the next 5 months. But that's the whole point of being people of faith. People of faith keep pressing into the presence of God. My wife, I've picked on her twice today, but my wife is a prayer warrior. She's like an intercessor. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten up in the night and she wasn't in bed and she was in the other room praying. I could hear her travailing in prayer, weeping before the Lord. And recently, I heard that sound again. I heard from the other room. I mean, it's 4 in the morning, and it's waking me kind of out of my sleep, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I hear, and I thought, oh my goodness, Sandy's in there. She's weeping before the Lord. Something must have happened. She must have gotten a text message in the night. Something's wrong with one of our kids. I hope it's not Carrie, you know. Her mother's in a nursing home. I hope it's not her mother. My dad's in there. I hope it's not my dad. And I can hear, So I get up and start following this noise, and I follow it all the way into the laundry room, and I find her. She's behind the door in the laundry room. She's not praying. She's got a wet little rag trying to mark something off of a laminated calendar, and it's going, I said, I thought you were in here praying. I was so burdened, I couldn't find you. But I'm going to tell you something, though. People of faith are praying people. People of faith are people of prayer. And let me tell you something I've learned about prayer. There are two kinds of prayer. I know there are many others. You can do big teaching on it. But there are two kinds I want you to nail in your mind today. There's one where you cry out to God about the mountain in your way. There's another kind where you speak to the mountain and tell it to get out of the way in the name of Jesus. You're either praying and asking God, or you're commanding mountains to get out of the way. But I'm going to tell you something. It's important that you do both. There are times when I cry out to God and ask Him to do something. There are other times when I speak to the problem and tell it, oh no, you don't. You will not control this situation. Let me give you a scripture. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours." Listen, we're going to have to adopt some faith scriptures and get them deep into our heart if we're going to become people of faith. And the third thing, last thing today is this. Not only does it matter what we believe, not only does it matter what we say, it matters what we do. Let me tell you what this woman with the issue of blood didn't do. She didn't stay home and say, "You know what? I've been this way 12 years. I'm just going to die this way." Some of us do that. We've had chronic problems for so long. We've had family issues so long. And when someone taught on generational curses, it just locked it in our brain. Yep, that's a generational curse over my family, and that's just the way it is. I'm going to tell you something. That's not the way it is. And when God gives you revelation, can I tell you today, you have a new family tree? I don't care what curse was on your family. You've got a new heritage. You've got a new lineage. You've got a new father. You've got a new family tree. And you've got new blessings. And they're waiting for us. And most of the time, we don't get them when we stay home. We get them when you did what you did this morning. You say, "I'm going to church. I'm going to go praise God. I'm going to go get with the people of God. And I'm going to believe God." And you're here. You're people of faith. But we've got to exercise our faith. She didn't stay home. Neither did she stand on the sidelines like a parade and watch Jesus go by. And even though he didn't come over and make it about her, she made it about him. And she came up from behind him. Can I tell you, you know what he was doing? He was on his way to a guy's house by the name of Jairus to heal that guy's daughter. And she interrupted the day of Jesus. Can I tell you, your prayers can interrupt God? And that's what she did. I love this story. I can identify with this story. And as she pressed up against Jesus and prayed and cried out for help, basically by touching him, we know the rest of the story. But here's what I want to say to you today. It matters what you do. People of faith are people of action. Sometimes it means that you're going to have to get up out of your seat and go to the altar and believe God for a breakthrough. And if you didn't get a breakthrough last week, you might find yourself at the altar again this week. Sometimes your marriage isn't going real good and you might come talk to the pastor about what's going on. And that one talk with the pastor helped just a little bit, but could be you need some counseling. You need to get with an older, wiser, mentoring couple and let them pour into you and get some things changed going on in the way that you treat your husband, treat your wife. There have been times that I went to someone like Pastor Dan and I got some deliverance. And then I realized that was just a top of the problem, and I had to go again and again and again. People of faith don't quit. People of faith are people of action, and people of faith don't quit. They keep believing. They keep pressing in. They keep asking. They keep seeking. They keep knocking. I've seen supernatural things happen, and then I've gone seasons where I didn't see anything happen. But when I look back at what caused it to happen again 6 months later, it was because I kept on seeking and I kept on praying and I kept on pressing in. When I think about my kids and what they're doing today, I think back when they were teenagers and how there were many nights that Sandy and I would not turn loose of the vision we saw. We just kept believing. We just kept praying. We're doing it now. We're believing God now for some changes in our life, in the lives of our kids. You know, parenting never stops. It just becomes prayer-ting. I don't tell my kids what to do anymore. I pray for them. And I believe God for breakthroughs. It matters what we do. It matters because people of faith are people of action. They're people of faith. Don't quit. I had a pastor when I was a teenager tell me this. He said, "Mark, pray until you have it in your hand, or pray till you have it in your heart." Sometimes we get to see the miracle happen right there. And when you do, that's like winning the lottery. You're going to pay off all your bills. But what happens when you don't win the lottery and you don't get the miracle? I want to tell you something. Listen to this. If you don't hear anything I said all day, hear this. I sense the presence of the Lord right now. Every time you pray, something supernatural happens. Every time. It may not be what you're looking for. But either God gives you more grace, or He gives you more peace, or He might not change your situation, but He may change you in the middle of the situation. We might be walking through hell and have peace on our life because of the presence of God. Are you listening to me? Everything that takes the world out doesn't have to take us out. I'm reminded of a story of a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. Her and her family saved hundreds of Jewish people during the Holocaust. Hundreds of Jewish people, they rescued them. When her family was found out, they were arrested themselves and they were thrown into a Nazi concentration camp. She watched her father and her sister killed right in front of her eyes. Later, she was being interviewed on a Christian talk show and they asked her, "How did you see that and never become bitter?" And here's what she said. She said, "When I was a little girl, my daddy would take me on train rides all over Europe. And he'd buy the tickets weeks before. But he'd never give me my ticket until we were standing on the platform and he could see the lights of the train coming down the track. And then he'd give me my ticket." She said, "That taught me that no matter what I'm walking through, God will give me His presence and He'll give me His grace the moment I need it." Guys, I can't promise you you'll walk out of here with the miracle the way we want it. But I can promise you, today God can give you what you need right here, right now. I do believe this, though. This is a final thought. People of faith believe for the big. The enemy always tries to back you off of the big. So what if you just get grace today, okay? But what if God wants to just dump all of heaven on you today? What if God wants to give you a new job? What if God wants to give you a financial breakthrough? What if God wants to heal that 12-year chronic sickness? What if? Can we believe Him for that too? You see, I believe faith is like momentum. Faith is like the wave that comes after the wave and that comes after the wave. There's something that happens. I can remember back when we were at youth camp and lives of teenagers would be changed, and it usually always happened around Thursday night. Why? Because they were being saturated in the Word all week, and they've been saturated in the presence of God all week, and they were obeying what they heard God say, and it was like a momentum and a saturation, like a wave, like a tidal wave coming in on them. I'm telling you, you stay on your face, and you stay in the Word, and you keep coming after Jesus, there's a spiritual momentum about to catch up with you. I want to share this story, and I'm done. A college professor took a group of students to China for a field trip. Several days into the journey, the professor experienced incredible stomach pain. He was hurting so badly, the professor asked a friend to call an ambulance. He was rushed to a local clinic. They were way back in a small town with no big hospitals. The medical staffer in charge could tell that the professor's appendix had ruptured. Poison was spreading throughout his body, but there was no surgeons around. There was little that could be done for the professor, his friend was told. "I can give him some pain medications, maybe some sleeping pills, but my advice is that you should make peace, or that he should make peace with his family." The professor went into convulsions and passed in and out of consciousness. Back at home in the States, right here in the United States, the professor's father, who was a pastor, began to feel an incredible burden for his son during a service at his church. The pastor tried to ignore the feeling, but it just wouldn't go away. Finally, he stopped the service and he said to the congregation, "You must pray for my son. Something's wrong." And they dropped to their knees and they prayed. Back in China at the clinic, it was 2:00 in the morning when one of that country's most well-known surgeons walked in. The same surgeon who travels with U.S. presidents when they visit China. The clinic staff was amazed to see him. "I'm here to take care of the American," the surgeon said. The Chinese surgeon saved the life of the professor with an operation. The next day, the surgeon said to the recovering professor, "Who were those two men that you sent into my office yesterday?" He said, "I didn't send anybody to you. I don't know anybody here in China. I've just been here a couple of days." "That's odd," he said, "because two men came in dressed in nice suits. They looked like they were government officials. They said that you were a very important person and I needed to be here in the middle of the night to operate on you." I'm going to tell you something. These things still happen. I was over in Africa just a few years ago. We were walking through a village and a lady came out of a clinic and said, "Is there a doctor around? Is there a doctor around?" The man walking with me was a doctor. He raced into the clinic and there was a lady giving birth to a baby in there, and the umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's neck three times. And this doctor unwrapped that umbilical cord and saved that little baby's life. What are the chances that we would be in Africa and I'd be walking down the street with a doctor next to me? Listen, God knows what's going on in your life. And that tidal wave of faith, when you've been believing God and trusting God and crying out to God, it's about to come on you. Jesus knows what you're walking through. Can we believe Him for big things again? Yes! We are people of faith. That's who we are. Now, I don't know what you're walking through today. I don't know what stage you are in it. I'm going to tell you what I know. It's right to believe. It's right to say what the Word says. It's right to do what we know to do. It's right to press into God again. It's right to cry out one more time. It's right, and it's what we need to do. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment?